So, Maggie Hamilton. Well, Maggie Hamilton was a very skilled embroiderer and a painter of still lives and flower studies. She was the daughter of Mary Stevenson and James Hamilton, who was a prosperous Glasgow bobbin manufacturer. And she was the younger sister of the Glasgow Boys painter, James Whitelaw Hamilton. And she married the well-known Glasgow architect, A.N. Patterson, who was the brother of another Glasgow Boy painter, James Patterson. And she's very much been eclipsed by these more prominent male members of her family. And I think her plight is exemplified by the fact that in 1883, the summers of 1883 to 85, she was asked by Guthrie's mother to keep house for the boys at Dunglass, near Coburn's Path, where the boys had gone to immerse themselves in the manner of Bastien Lepage in rural life. Her brother had already gone there to join Guthrie and Walton and Crawhall and others. And in this paper, I hope to very briefly discuss the artistic output of Maggie Hamilton and also to examine the extent to which she... benefited from or was hindered by the more prominent male members of her family. Whereas quite a lot has been written about them, very little has been written about Maggie, and what has been written tends to be regurgitated again and again with little attempt to analyse further. However, in the Guthrie portrait of her, which is in Glasgow Museum's collection dating from 1892 to 93, she's shown wearing an elegant walking outfit, with her hand on her hip, holding a cane, not a more feminine parasol, standing full length against a red curtain. And she poses a confident and elegant, fashionable figure. And it's no accident that the painting pays homage to Harmony in Red Lamplight here at the Hunterian, Whistler's portrait of his artist wife, Beatrice. Which Guthrie could have seen in the winter of 1887 to 88 at the Society of British Artists in London. An interesting parallel, actually. Anecdotally, Guthrie was in love with Maggie Hamilton at the time, and she appears a lot in his paintings of the 1890s, most famously in his diploma piece for the Royal Scottish Academy, Midsummer, where she appears with her sister Mary and with Hannah Walton in the garden of the family home, Thornton Lodge in Helensburgh. And apparently Guthrie was to regret this choice for his diploma picture. It's very decorative and impressionist, showing the middle class at leisure. And perhaps he regretted it because it was tied up with his infatuation. His 1892-3 portrait of Maggie was exhibited at the Society of Portrait Painters in Grafton's Galleries in London in May 1893. It was exhibited in the same room as Whistler's portrait of the violinist Sarasate. And Guthrie's portrait received universal praise from critics. However, unlike the violinist, there was absolutely no mention of the sitter as an artist in her own right. Whistler's portrait of Beatrice was gifted to the University of Glasgow in 1935 as part of a substantial gift from the artist estate. And whether or not Maggie had this in mind, she pointedly gifted Guthrie's portrait of her to Glasgow Museums in 1951, the year before she died, suggesting that she saw this painting as capturing her character and her ambition, and also that she was determined to have a legacy in the city. Maggie Hamilton's daughter, Viola Patterson, who's also an artist, bequeathed other family items to Glasgow Museums in 1982, and these included a Japanese bamboo and paper parasol, which we think belonged to Maggie, also an unfinished embroidery on its frame, which was Maggie's, and a book of embroidery threads belonging to Maggie. There's also a very unusual dress dating from the late 1890s or early 1900s, a satin dress hand-painted. And again, we think this is Maggie's. It's very similar, the flowers are very similar to the kind of painted and embroidered flowers that you see on her in decorative works. Now, it's not a handmade counterculture dress like those of Glasgow School designers Jessie Newbury and Anne Macbeth. And the label on it says W.R. Grieve, Glasgow. And Grieve was a silk mercer, a mantle maker and couture dressmaker with premises in Sockey Hall Street. However, in individualising the dress in this way, she was buying into the concept of dress as art, the Gesamtkunstwerk, which was taken to a new level by female Glasgow School artists and designers. And in fact, Margaret MacDonald was known to buy dresses from Greaves, adding her own beads and embroidery to personalise. However, it should be noted that Maggie Hamilton's style is quite distinct from the Glasgow School style. She never went to Glasgow School of Art, and she was quite a different in her trend. And in fact, her her daughter, Viola Paterson, said she never did quite see eye to eye with Anne Macbeth. Now, following arts and crafts tradition, Maggie incorporated floral and figural embroideries and paintings into Longcroft, which was the family home designed in 1901 by her husband in Helensburgh, to express their love and shared creativity. It's an L-plan house, and it owes much to 17th and 18th century Scottish domestic architecture. It's harled with stone dressings, and it's got Dutch and crow-stepped gables and a variety of different turrets. And there's a stylized hood moulding over the entrance, which has an escutcheon with symbols of architecture, painting and embroidery, and significantly the initials of Maggie and Alexander. And you'll see that the corbels are actually carved stone portraits of their children. There's a photo of Maggie with her children outside the entrance. Alexander also commissioned Guthrie and Wells windows for the drawing room, which show architecture, embroidery and painting. And there was also music in another light. And the house very much combined both of their skills. Maggie designed, embroidered and painted floral overmantels for the main rooms. This is the entrance hall. This is the drawing room. She also designed an embroidered triptych cupids for the dining room, which is now at Glasgow School of Art. She also designed a marigold bedhead and peony over chimney mantle for the main bedroom, and an embroidered fireside seat for the guest bedroom, as well as stenciling for the walls. And there are many photos of the family in Longcroft which were taken by James Paterson and reflect the artistic and cultural atmosphere of the house. Now, with regard to Maggie's professional life outside of the domestic realm, she was doggedly determined. She exhibited 51 paintings at the Royal Scottish Academy from 1889. She was 22 at that time. And although denied membership as a woman, she nevertheless exhibited almost every year from 1903, predominantly oils, only three watercolours, and mainly flower studies or still lifes. And her works were modestly priced between £5 and £45. Janice Helland has shown how women tended to underprice their works in comparison to their male counterparts. And she only sold five of her works from the Royal Scottish Academy exhibitions. This work is the only work by her in a public collection in the UK. And I think this is partly why she's so little known, because her works tend to be in private collections. But she also exhibited an impressive 92 works at the Royal Glasgow Institute from 1890, dedicatedly exhibiting every year, sometimes two or three works at a time, which was the most she could as a woman non-member, until 1944, when she was age 77. And the only exceptions being 1898, which was the year after her marriage, when we know Alexander went travelling in Italy and she may well have joined him, and also in 1906 and 1931. But in those years, she also exhibited at the Royal Scottish Academy, so they were by no means fallow years for her. She even exhibited in 1899 and 1900, which were the years her children were born, which I think was some feat. And most women had to take a career break because of marriage, children and household duties. But Maggie was quite lucky because she came from a wealthy background. She had a nanny, she had live-in staff, and she was able to keep on working. She also had a supportive husband. After her marriage, very interestingly, she continued to exhibit as Maggie Hamilton, not Maggie Paterson, although critics kept referring to her as Mrs. A.N. Paterson, trying to put her in her place. She exhibited between 1891 and 1901 in Germany, also at the Royal Academy and at the Walker. And she was an artist member of the Glasgow Society of Lady Artists, later the Lady Artists Club, which was formed in 1882. We don't know exactly when she joined because the early records were destroyed by fire, but probably she joined in the late 1880s or early 1890s. Her brother was very supportive of the society during this time. And she would have had an opportunity to draw from life there, but she still favoured still lifes and flowers. And the Evening Times wrote of Mrs. A.N. Patterson's quaintly bizarre nasturtiums, which she exhibited with the Society. She was the Society's president twice in 1928 and 1937, and also on the Hanging Committee in the 1920s. Maggie also showed at Fran Newbery's Arts and Crafts exhibition in 1895, where she won first prize equal in decorative painting and second prize for best work in silk art needlework. She also exhibited original embroidery and book covers with the Scottish Society of Art Workers in Glasgow. Her husband was one of the founder members. And she was also represented at the 1901 International Exhibition in Glasgow, the 1911 Scottish National Exhibition of History and Industry in Glasgow, and at several Glasgow School of Art exhibitions. Her brother-in-law, James Patterson, around 1918, wrote arguing that male and female artists should receive training together at the Royal Scottish Academy, maintaining there would be obvious advantages if men and women work together, and personally I'm inclined to advocate such an arrangement. However, Maggie Hamilton didn't even make it to art school, and neither did James's brother Alexander, her husband, who was the youngest of seven children and was forced to take up a more practical profession, the family refusing to support another artist. So what chance did Maggie have with an older brother artist? But she made opportunities for herself. We know that she painted while she was at Coburn's Path. We know of at least one seascape, an oil and panel from that period. She also obviously benefited from the artistic experience and contacts of her brother, and possibly in practical ways through studio materials and artistic friends. It was certainly on the back of the Glasgow Boys' success in Munich that she went on to exhibit in Munich too. As I mentioned, once married, she benefited from a supportive husband who didn't object to her exhibiting under her maiden name. She wasn't one of the key figures of the Glasgow School, but she was singled out for attention by the Art Journal in 1907 as demonstrating an alternative ideal in embroidery. She was a consistent worker and an exhibitor both in the decorative and fine arts, a talented woman, a talented artist and exquisite embroiderer with her own style, unafraid to hold her own in the company of men and women, and a woman who deserves to be remembered.